Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this show. The theme is Yes, We Can. Oh, I think somebody already used that when they were running for president. Anyway, speaking of running for president and starting things off, Michelle Bachmann makes it official. She's flying high in Iowa. Now, what happens a year from now? A lot will be determined by then, but it seems so far away, doesn't it? There are still people who haven't declared. There are those that are talking about it and those who have dumped out. Newt Gingrich has a death hold onto the position that he wants to be president, but his wife is sinking his campaign into the ground, it seems, and who knows what other revelations will be discovered. The Tiffany's thing, pretty tough to live down. You know, here's the thing. You have to know when you're in the right spot. Gingrich is in a great spot. He's pumping out books that are selling like hotcakes. He's getting paid to comment all over the place. But yet, he can't help himself but want to grab that brass ring of the presidency when really he's in a stronger role, a more influential role, if you will, behind the scenes for the party anyway, not more influential than being the president straight up of the United States. Michelle Bachmann would like to be the first female president, but if you were handicapping this, how much of a chance do you give her? Well, Iowa made kind of the difference. Why? Because one of the local papers, the local paper, the Des Moines Register, said that Romney came in first, but she was a very close second by like a point. That absolutely tells you something. It's not about the election for the people who live near Los Alamos. It's about surviving and putting the political nonsense out of their heads, of course. When you're dealing with a catastrophe, a crisis of some sort, you got to be laser focused on what's happening. And because of the fires and the nuke lab that everybody says and reassures, oh, is totally safe, because of the proximity, the fireballs surrounding it, the people in that town, in that area, have to be evacuated and have been evacuated. But it's tough. Here's what one guy who lives there said gets under your skin and how rough it is to come back and forth and do this.
It's pretty surreal. It's unfortunate. In some aspects, we're a little more prepared this time. But for some of us that are having to pick out the items that we need to make sure we take with us, it's disheartening that we're having to do this again.
It has to be disheartening but necessary. When you see those plumes of smoke shoot up in the air and you see the ash that's raining down along your head, it means you've got to get out of there. You have to leave. So if they're telling you to leave, the smartest move that anybody can make is do what the firemen say. They've been, especially in that area, because they deal with those fires all the time, and you want to avoid any of this hazardous stuff. That's my lecture from the get-go, except for that we've been seeing all these wildfires pop up, and this is a pretty brutal one because you're talking about a significant piece of land, a historic sense, when we go back in history and remember that this is a place where 50 years ago they did underground tests of radioactive explosives. So when you think of Los Alamos National Laboratory, think of that. Think of that. Forever and a day, they were working on those tests. And this is a fire that began, the scientists were anyway, this is a fire that began on Sunday and at the time looked like it was going to be contained. It destroyed about 30 different buildings and whatnot, and was west of Los Alamos. By early Monday, it actually forced the closure of the labs while they did some, they did some digging to try to get things, as he said, pieces that they wanted outside of the house. Boy, I don't envy anybody who has to go through that. That is a rough thing to deal with. Speaking of rough, it's very odd, this whole Casey Anthony trial in Orlando. And the fact that it took 30 days to even say the daughter was missing, then find her in the wooded area. So much doesn't add up. So much doesn't make sense that I can't help but think a jury is going to have a very tough time acquitting Casey Anthony of the crime she's accused of, and that is murdering her 2-year-old daughter. And with the parents, I don't even know if they know what ends is up when they're taking the stand and what they're testifying to and what they're not saying. It's pretty, I mean, you can, it's like Swiss cheese. You could poke a hole in all the stuff. We talked about this a lot in our last show about the 95-year-old woman who the wheelchair set things off, so she really couldn't walk through. And the TSA decided they had a frisk her, so she had to remove her adult diaper, claiming it, you know, getting rid of it. They had to get rid of the diaper, and airport security insisted that that apparently the daughter go through the frisking process too, and she was actually able to go through and escort her mother to the plane because they weren't, I thought initially they were traveling together, and they weren't traveling together. She was just helping her mother. And the woman who was doing that, her daughter, said the Transportation Security Administration lied when they issued a statement denying that they demanded her mother to remove her diaper so that a thorough body search could be, you know, take place. And this poor woman, no matter what, she's 105 pounds soaking wet. She suffers from leukemia, is practically on her deathbed. She had to get a blood transfusion before she left for the airport. And she just wants to get on the plane. Why would you, no matter what they did, why would you hassle this woman? Why? You cannot think that Al-Qaeda or the Taliban or somebody has something planted on her. You cannot tell me that that's what you think. Ooh. It makes absolutely no sense. None. All right, as we get ready to push off here and continue to kick that ball down the road till the end of this hour and in starting things off, focusing on a couple of the things that happened, how about the fact that Blagojevich, again, bringing this around, thought that he would be free and clear and instead is convicted on almost everything. Almost everything. What ultimately is the sentence going to be? The sentence could be up to, some say, like 14 years. I think he gets anywhere from 6 to 11. But the former governor said he was stunned and disappointed after 9 days of going back and forth over the evidence. Rod Blagojevich, the former governor of Illinois, is convicted. See, my mama told me the cream rises to the top. He didn't rise to the top. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American, covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237, and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
GCN listeners, why have you been hearing so much about Dermatol, the all-natural, all-purpose first aid spray? Because it's the must-have first aid product you need in your preparedness kit. Dermatol is made in America by Americans who know there's a more affordable, natural way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many other skin problems. Dermatol is gentle enough for diaper rash, powerful enough for bed sores, and harmless to the eyes and mouth. It's great for the whole family, even your family pets. Dermatol is antimicrobial, antifungal, antiviral, and not diminished by freezing, extreme heat, or years in storage. Dermatol is an absolute must for any first aid or preparedness kit. Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Order yours today. Call 800-217-6677. 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
There's nothing you can do that can't be done. Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. Nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do but you can learn how to be you in time. It's easy.
Love is all you need. 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 a rule to implement one. For instance, if someone is scantily clad going into a business, they can be asked to leave if they're in a department store. There may not be a policy on that, but they can certainly use their own discretion.
Right, but I just think that with an employer, you know, you have the choice of working there or not working there. But when you're, you know, 2,500 feet in the air, I think it's a little too late to be, you know, trying to play Simon Says on somebody. Also, with the cross-dresser who's been asked to cover up, how many times does he need to be told that he needs to cover up? I mean, he might have he complied with the rules when he's asked to, but how many times he has to be asked to understand that it's inappropriate? So, to me, it's in the same situation of this guy, that Deshaun, that, you know, both were inappropriate. If they're supposed to be a policy, then they should state it.
Okay, but now, so you're in part of the flight crew. What do? You see a guy come on with saggy pants one day, the next day, Mr. 65-year-old pantyhose man comes on. What do you do?
To me, it's simple. If they don't have a rule, they don't have a policy, a dress code, then they can't enforce it. They can't tell him that he has to do something. It's not Simon Says. And one of the problems we're having with these airlines these days is too much tribalism, you know, with the pat-downs and the screenings and such. We feel like we're already giving up too much of our freedoms and such, and now we're being told how to dress and what to dress. So I understand that what you guys are saying. If they want to do that, that's fine, but state the policy and post the policy so everybody can comply before they get
okay, so what should the policy be?
Well, maybe, you know, a certain dress format, you know, belt with your pants or, you know, I don't know how you want to do that, because if you want to say pants for man, then the man wants to be a cross-dresser. Right now we're arguing in courts that whether or not bathrooms can be for girls or boys. So I really don't understand where this goes in the end. But, you know, I'm not a judge. But all I know is I'd be uncomfortable if someone was telling me how to dress after I paid someone for a service. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Well, the airline is saying that once you expose a body part, then you're in violation.
Right.
Now, the guy who was with his saggy pants, they're claiming that a body part was exposed.
Yeah.
And that was the reason why he was asked to bring up his saggy pants, and apparently he did not comply. Therefore, he was told to leave the flight.
Right.
Now, there wasn't any body part exposed with this 65-year-old male cross-dresser.
Yeah, but, I mean...
So that's why he's allowed to fly.
The visual, though. I mean,
I understand.
I'm sure everyone on that plane was going, what in the world is going on with that guy? What's the deal?
Well, we know what the deal is.
I mean, it's – and listen, this guy, this cross-dresser guy knows he's going to get a reaction.
Of course.
When
that's
he walks,
why he does it, Jeff.
Exactly. He gets off on that. So, you know, it's
but,
really
but according
bad.
To the airline, no body part was exposed. So a man can wear a bra and panties and be allowed to fly on U.S. Air, but if you show the plumber's crack, then you get bounced.
Yeah, time for a dress code. Absolutely.
Yeah. Am I still on? Hello?
Yes, you are. Hello? Is the caller there?
Anybody who's willing to say all of a sudden that you have to follow a rule might also be willing to say all of a sudden that, oh, yeah, well, he had a crack showing. You know, if they can invent rules as they go, then, of course, they might be able to invent problems as they go. I wouldn't put too much stock into what they say about, oh, well, he had a crack showing. You know, I'd be more interested in hearing some witnesses on that side.
Would you like to see a video, too? Because I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Well, supposedly there is a video. So I'd be interested to see what was actually shown here and what they're complaining about.
Well, you can go to our Facebook page and see the photo.
Okay. But
and you can study the photo.
Again, you know, if he was intentionally being, you know, indecent, then that's one thing. But if it was, you know, cracks happen even without saggy pants. So, you know, you can't really put a lot of faith in that. And if there's no dress code, then they can't enforce a non-existent rule. To me, it's that simple.
Time to implement that dress code.
Well, when you go into a store, Mike, any retailer can bounce you out of their store because of the way you're dressed.
But as they'll also post on the window, you know, you no dogs, no shoes, no T-shirts, not allowed. They will
no shoes,
that.
No shirt,
oh,
no service.
You don't have to have any written rules in a business. You can just tell someone to leave because they reserve the right to do that. You don't have to have a rule, Mike, in writing for you to be asked to leave someone's business.
Okay, but he's already purchased something, he's already there. I mean, if there was a problem, shouldn't they have already brought it to his account?
I agree.
Then that's
as soon as the guy checked in, he should have been told, you're going to have to cover up on the flight. If not, you won't be allowed to fly, period.
Now
simple as that.
Now this has become a Simon Says, and who knows where this is going to lead. So I totally disagree.
Well, I think it needs to lead to common sense. That's where we need to wrap this up.
He should be arrested for not having common sense. And this guy was arrested. This guy was arrested, kicked off the plane.
Well, hold on, Mike. He was arrested because an officer was injured because he was resisting the handcuffs. He wasn't arrested. Yeah. Hold on, Mike.
There was an altercation.
He wasn't arrested because of what he was wearing or what he was not wearing. He was not complying with the officers.
Understood. But problem B wouldn't have happened if there wasn't problem A. And problem A was that he was being asked to do something that he probably felt was against his professionalism, or well, that's probably the wrong word, but, you know, his agreement upon coming upon the service, and then, you know, altercations happen in B, C, and D. But, you know, to me, if you remove the problem A, B, C, and D wouldn't happen either. You know what I mean?
I understand your logic, but you still get arrested, Mike, even with that logic. I mean, there's a lot of people that are find themselves in a situation, but if you overreact and make it worse and resist arrest or someone gets injured, that is going to be a crime, period.
That may be the point, but again, if he's sitting down not bothering anybody and they're asking him to cover up and do whatever and he's not, you know, exposing anything, he's not really doing anything wrong.
Well, the airline said he was. He didn't comply. He's off the flight. That's it.
Ready for a mindset tune-up? Hi, I'm Julie Rahm, your mindset mechanic. We're living in a time of adversity and change where we must thrive, not survive. No matter how successful you are, there are roadblocks between where you are and where you want to be. If your career is going great, maybe your body's not fit or your intimate relationship stinks. Take back control of your life with the Mindset Mechanic on WebTalkRadio.net. You'll get the tools you need to overhaul your attitude and rebuild your dreams with the Mindset Mechanic on WebTalkRadio.net. It's smart radio.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it led back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
Has the whole world gone mad?
What's going on?
How can they do that?
Can Christians have demons?
Why are politicians so detached?
Need answers to these questions? This is Scott Enser for HardcoreChristianity.com, the nastiest Christian radio show and website in the country. When it comes to the biblical truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God, about what's really going on in America and the rest of the world. Come join us each day as Michael W. Smith of the House of Healing in Phoenix reveals what the churches in America failed to tell you about the true spirit realm concerning demonic activity, mental illness, and even the basis of hardcore evil that is sweeping mankind. Visit HardcoreChristianity.com. Remember, you cannot negotiate with evil. You have to eradicate it. It's not too late. Live in or visiting the Phoenix area? Come join us twice a week for our healing and deliverance services or attend our free monthly seminars. Check website for service hours and schedules.
HardcoreChristianity.com.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, of course, coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. Well, you know that this is near and dear to my heart, everything with the troops, especially so many who come back missing limbs and what has happened afterwards, psychologically and physically and just with families, etc., in many cases being torn apart. So thrilled to welcome to this show Dr. Ronald Glasser. He knows a lot about war because during the Vietnam War, especially when we're talking about these particular situations, he was a major in the U.S. Army Medical Corps, and he treated lots and lots of wounded soldiers and Marines. So he, I'm sure, has massive compassion for those types of warriors. And, of course, that's why he's written a book called Broken Bodies and Shattered Minds. Doc, thanks for coming on ATN. We know you're busy. We appreciate the time.
Well, it's a treat to be here. But we didn't take care of Marines in Vietnam. The Marines were taken care of by the Navy.
Oh, yeah.
And they went through their own evac chain and their own hospitals. If it were, the only Marines we did take care of were those that were assigned to the Army when they got hit.
When you first went to Vietnam and, you know, everything was, I'm sure, moving so fast, were you prepared for what you saw when you were treating soldiers?
Well, I was sent, I had my orders changed. We all had our orders changed. I mean, I was originally, you know, it's a little bit like the MASH episode when Hot Lips turns to Hawkeye and says, you know, how the hell did you get here? And he looks at her and says, I was drafted. And we were all drafted in 1968. I mean, it was after the Tet Offensive and the Army was running out of everything and the Marines were being killed platoon by platoon in the grass and in the highlands. And I was assigned to Kamsama, Japan. But all of us who had permanent duty stations outside of the United States were taken aside during our basic training and told if we didn't extend for an extra year, we would all be reassigned to Vietnam. And I was 24 years old, unmarried. I didn't own anything. I'd gone into the Army without a key. And I just said, well, I won't extend. And that's when I found out that the Army was kidding a bit, that what they want to do is get an extra third year out of us. And so I was sent to Japan basically to take care of the dependent population. But Zama was in a VAC hospital, and I got there about 2 weeks after 2 weeks after I got there, they had sent the 101st Airborne into the Eshel Valley, and they were getting whacked. And so we were getting 60, 80 casualties a day, or not a day, but an hour. And that's when we all had our duty obligations changed, and we ended up taking care of the wounded.
Wow. So probably you're just it's the same as I said, although not actually on the battlefield, but just blowing and going, is getting through as many of the guys as you could get through. A typical day must have just been, you must have just been drained at the end of that.
Well, it was, you know, there's a difference from Vietnam and today. In Vietnam, you were shot. In Afghanistan and Iraq, you're blown up. And so the injuries are different. And in Vietnam, as I'm sure you know, or your listeners, there were 2.4 casualties to every death. In essence, if you got hit, you were probably killed. The reason is that you get you get shot and you get a penetrating chest wound or abdominal injury, and you get your aorta nicked or your kidneys fractured or your liver lacerated. And if you can't stop the bleeding, you bleed to death. And that's the golden hour that they talk about. It's whether it's on the battlefield or on a highway in Dallas or one in Minneapolis. If you can stop the bleeding from any traumatic injury, you'll survive. The difference was in Vietnam, you didn't survive. You died usually when you were hit, or at least in the next hour. But in Afghanistan and Iraq, with the body armor, you don't bleed to death. The body armor is very effective. At the beginning of the war, when I was talking to the surgeons at Balad and at Landstuhl in Germany, I mean, they were startled when they would take these kids in off the chopper and take off their body armor. And there wouldn't be a mark from their chin to their groin, but they'd have their legs blown off and penetrating head wounds and concussive injury. That's the difference. Now there's 16 casualties to every death in Afghanistan and Iraq, which puts a gigantic burden, not only on the VA system, but on parents and relatives. A lot of the care is outsourced, and it's care that goes on forever. I mean, and so different wars, different wounds, different tactics, different injuries.
Mm. And you write about that, and that's the setup when I was talking about in the beginning how so many limbs, and you just said it, Broken Bodies, Shattered Minds, the exact title of your book. The mind part, what have we seen? I was hearing 18 suicides a day. Is that pretty right on par with what you've heard?
Yeah, I think October 2010, there were more suicides in the military than there were deaths in Iraq and Afghanistan. Mm. But every war, military medicine makes advances that are applicable to civilian life. I mean, one of the most famous is Walter Reed. I mean, when he went down to Central America and discovered that yellow fever was transmitted by mosquitoes, I mean, he allowed, by killing the mosquitoes, the Army Corps of Engineers to build the Panama Canal. 30 years earlier, the French had tried, and they'd given up because everybody was dying from yellow fever. And then we have the K rations in the Second World War. They're named after Ansel Keys, K for Keys. And he developed rations. The Army asked him, he was here at the University of Minnesota in the nutrition department, to develop rations basically for the paratroopers so that the paratroopers could survive on rations that they would carry for 2 to 3 weeks without having to be resupplied. And he developed K rations, where 28 grams of this stuff would give you 3,200 calories. But in developing the K rations, he discovered the dangers of a high-fat diet in humans, which led, of course, to statins and new treatments for heart disease. Second World War, we had plasma, Vietnam, vascular surgery, and surgical packs that stopped bleeding. And in Afghanistan and Iraq, because of the huge numbers of traumatic brain injuries and exposures to IEDs, we're beginning to understand, because of being able to apply neuroscience, which was not a science even 15 years ago. I mean, there weren't any MRIs and CAT scans, and there weren't any brain scans. But because so many of our troops are getting traumatic brain injuries and concussive injuries and penetrating head wounds, there is a beginning understanding that a hell of a lot of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, which used to be considered a abnormality of the mind, is really damage to the brain. And that's applicable to civilian life. I mean, here in Minneapolis, the plaintiff attorneys are pushing, and indeed the Children's Hospital where I work is going to buy a tensor MRI, which is a more sophisticated MRI, and that's because if you're a parent and your kid comes home from a sporting event like hockey or football, and mm-hmm. the coaches said that they dinged that they got dinged or they had their bell rung, and those sure. kids are confused. The plaintiff attorneys are insisting that a tensor MRI be done to make sure that this is not a traumatic brain injury. But we're getting this information because of the enormous number of soldiers who've been exposed to IEDs. And the truth is, everybody knows it, that cares, I guess, is that improvised explosive device is a misnomer. I mean, if you wire together 355-millimeter shells, put it in the ground, put 5 pounds of Centex on top of it and a couple of canisters of butane gas, it'll turn over a 60-ton M1A1 tank. And if you're 50 meters away from the blast, you're still going to
feel it.
You bet, you know. And there's, I mean, the RAND Corporation in a study done in 2009 figured of the 2.2 million soldiers and Marines deployed in Iraq and Afghanistan, 400,000 have been exposed.
Oof.
Yeah, no, wow. it's more than an oof. It's terrifying.
Yeah, it is terrifying, and that's why, as you said, any of the machines that can help, it's the tip of the iceberg, really, what we're seeing and what you're talking about, what the cost of the injuries is going to be, too, the financial obligation and the obligation on the families, and I'm sure that's the human cost is a big part of what you talk about in your book, isn't it?
Well, except that the feds aren't paying for the cost. I mean, they're I don't understand it. None of us who were in Vietnam understand it, except that the people who are elected or those people in the country with power, prestige, influence, and the position don't have their kids in Iraq or Afghanistan. I mean, we have a country that has amnesia. You know, when I give my talks, I ask the audience, how many women do they think this country has sent to run the most dangerous roads in the world? And I get numbers like 500, 1,500. Well, it's 300,000.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 27% of the 2.2 million deployed.
Yeah.
I mean, 300,000 women, and they're getting blown up, and they're getting killed, just like the male Marines and soldiers. So the difference is that when they get killed, their kids become orphans. Because a vast majority of women in the military have joined the military as a way up, as well as a way out. And they're single mothers. And when they get killed, their kids are taken care of by their grandmothers. And nobody knows. I mean, this is like a great secret.
I agree with you, which is why we had you on the show, because we say it all the time on America Tonight, the amnesia, and I like your word, is unfortunately so true across this country. And luckily, this is an active audience where they're trying to help so many of the people that come back. And I think they do realize that. And you have definitely struck a chord with your book, Dr. Glasser, Broken Bones and Shattered Minds. Continued success with that and keep getting the word out. Thank you for coming on America Tonight.
Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this powerful and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective, even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health. And it's not just a mere spice. Oreganol P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt-based nasal spray. Use Oreganol P73 and stay healthy all summer long. Order today by calling 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Most Americans believe famine and hunger will never happen. But what if, day one, mayhem breaks out at grocery stores? Day three, families are on edge. Day five, the neighbors come knocking. Day 10, small bands of thieves begin stealing at gunpoint. Day 15, desperation, but the government can't help because there's no food left. Introducing the grab-and-go emergency food supply from Solutions from Science. 84 delicious, nutritious food servings, including breakfast, lunch, and dinner entrees, enough to feed 4 adults for a week. Every meal 100% vegetarian for longer shelf life. Claim your grab-and-go emergency food supply today at foodshortagesolutions.com. That's foodshortagesolutions.com. Or call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. Grab-and-go emergency food supply. Better a year too soon than one day too late.
Are you ready for a mindset tune-up? Hi, I'm Julie Rahm, your mindset mechanic. We're living in a time of adversity and change where we must thrive, not survive. No matter how successful you are, there are roadblocks between where you are and where you want to be. If your career is going great, maybe your body's not fit or your intimate relationship stinks. Take back control of your life with the Mindset Mechanic on WebTalkRadio.net. You'll get the tools you need to overhaul your attitude and rebuild your dreams with the Mindset Mechanic on WebTalkRadio.net. It's smart radio.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
On the day I was born, the nurses all gathered round. They gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up.
All right, we got another big nine before you head to the exit. You know, it's like the best part of the movie. You never want to walk out with a couple of minutes left, because sometimes there's the funny clips and other things that happen when they're giving the credits. Kate Delaney hanging with you here on America Tonight. So, Greece. The people are furious. They're upset. Could we be looking at what our future might be, since the people that we've elected to balance budgets and whatnot keep borrowing money and keep us in debt? Well, this is what it is in a nutshell. Greece needs someone to bail them out. So France is offering up kind of a radical solution for banks to roll over some of the Greek debt for 30 years as they fight for air. Because how are they going to avoid this bankruptcy? And you've got depositors fleeing, naturally, running for the highest hills they can find on any of the islands. Let's go to Crete because of the Greek banks. I mean, it's massive. People are bailing. And financial markets across the globe are watching this pretty nervously. Look at the Irish. Look at Ireland and what's happening there. And President Nicolas Sarkozy said in Paris that French banks had reached a draft agreement anyway on a voluntary rollover of maturing bonds. So if they can get it done, they're concluding that by stretching out the loans at the level of the European loans anyway, plus what they call a premium index to future Greek growth, it would be a system that that they could live with. And they put it to the test in a meeting of the rich people. I almost said something else. Rich people of international bankers and European Union officials. I mean, I'm kidding, but of course, the European Union officials, the International Institute of Finance in Rome, they didn't have any kind of a decision, but it's looking pretty good because, you know, can Greece afford to default on its $340 billion euro debt mountain, which would be $486 billion? And Moody's is saying that Greek banks have lost about 8% of their deposits so far because customers are burning through their savings because of unemployment. It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. Could we be looking at our future? Yes, Greece is a lot smaller than the United States, but isn't it a possibility? Roger Madden had some interesting thoughts on that, so we thought we'd let him attack it.
The current dispute in Congress over the deficit and the lifting of our debt limit is really about how this nation will look 20 years from now. This is Roger Madden, and this is what I think. Today, Europe rivets our attention with Greece, Italy, Portugal, Ireland, and Spain becoming the proverbial economic basket cases because their governments believed that they could maintain their democracies by paying off the electorate. The inevitable bills have now come due, and they are looking for others to pay off their crushing debts. Americans wonder, is this what is in store for us? And if so, who will be paying off our debts? Barack Obama, a feckless and unimaginative president, wants to kick the can down the road, and there are Republicans quite ready to help him along. And few of our leaders, if any, Democrat or Republican, provide a vision which offers the American people the will to engage the future. But there is a dynamic future awaiting us, but not across the Atlantic, made up of countries which have adopted a dying economic philosophy, but rather across the Grand Pacific. Admiral Mike Mullen describes it as free and dynamic nations such as India, Indonesia, Singapore, Japan, South Korea, Philippines, and yes, and perhaps even China, beckon us to join with them in a 1,000-ship navy, standing watch over the seas of trade and commerce, and standing watch over each other. It is this vision, a generation from now, which will provide the American people the will to engage the economic reality of today. This is Roger Madden, and that's what I think.
Yeah, it's a nightmare, and it is interesting to see what happens in the situation of Greece, because it is their moment of truth. Could this be where we're headed in the future? We know what's going on in Washington. It's that old Potomac two-step over the debt ceiling and whether to lift it or not, and what programs are being slashed and what kind of a deal can be cut. It seems like the last 2 years plus, that's all we've been talking about, is bailing out. I mean, I'm getting tired of this. Are you tired of this? If I'm telling you, if I was in a boat and there was this much water, you know when somebody has a boat and they constantly have to bail the water out? I had an uncle who had a boat like that. It was a good, decent-looking boat. You'd get in it, and then it was always filling up with water, so you always had to bail it. It's like, are you kidding? We're fishing and we're bailing water at the same time? This is no fun. I mean, seriously, the situation we're in, I'm tired of bailing. I'm tired of hearing about bailing. I'd rather just swim to shore. I'd rather just take my chances, jump out of the boat, and swim to shore. And that, seriously, this is what it feels like to me. It's a constant struggle to get up for this debt conversation. I mean, we all know what it means. We all know what's going on. And I think, frankly, we're just sick of it. But it's painfully obvious that we're stuck in the middle of it. Because, remember, it's our money. It's we the people. It's not somebody else's money. It's not the guy down the street's money. It's your money. It's your future, as Roger says, your children's future. I mean, we have leveraged that to the hilt. Really, what could they have been thinking while this was going along? It's like somebody who gambles away everything thinking the next roll they're going to get out of it. They're going to get every cent they need if they can just get the right roll. They'll stay at the craps table till they burn through everything they have because they're so convinced they can win it all back and then some, even if they start to go in the wrong direction. They don't walk away. So that's what happened. It was like a bunch of gamblers on the hill. They didn't walk away. Nobody really shouted loud enough years and years ago when all the spending was going on to say, hey, we're getting past the bees and we're moving forward so fast. Granted, we're a huge country and we're blowing and going, but why are we doing this? There has to be a way to balance this out. For goodness sake, there has to be a way to have this work out and cut the nonsense between Republicans and Democrats. But I guess I'm answering my own question. It doesn't happen. There's just a lot of blah, 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 blah. And then, oh my gosh, we came up with a deal. It's midnight and it's going to kick in tomorrow. That's it. Remember, the government's going to close down. It's going to close, it's going to close, it's going to close. I had a friend that was coming to see me. Couldn't come to see me because the government was shutting down. But it didn't shut down in the end, did it? There was at least 2.5 months of a discussion about the possibility of it shutting down. All right, I have to say this quickly because we mentioned it at the top. Michelle Bachmann, it's just official. She does declare she is running for the president of the United States, coming off of a high in Iowa, bringing this full circle. She's from Iowa. She showed up big. Romney was really just one point in front of her in the Des Moines poll, so that bodes well. Does that mean Michelle Bachmann has more than Tea Partiers in her corner? Are a lot of people reaching out for something different, looking to Michelle Bachmann? Could be. It's very early in the game, and there are a lot of people on the Republican side, frankly, I think, who haven't even declared yet, who might want to become the next president, at least get the Republican nod and make a run of it against Obama. And she's not the only female. The one that everybody wants to know what's going to happen with Sarah Palin. That's like a take on Bachmann Palin. That'd be their ticket. Palin. Is Sarah Palin going to do it or not? My sources say no, that she is the kingmaker. Why would she want to step into this? She's already been through it on the vice president side of things when she first really came to prominence, at least nationwide, as the governor of Alaska, jumping on the McCain ticket, and her family's doing well, and they're traveling and giving speeches and whatnot, and that it really didn't make any sense. At least that's what a couple of people told me who are kind of close to the Sarah Palin folks. So we'll see. Anything can happen. There's a long time between now and 2012 and next summer. It doesn't seem that long away, but it is long away. Who knows, ultimately, who could declare? Any thoughts? Send them to me, americatonight.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Hey, if you don't like America, you can get it.